Good morning. Today's going to be a little bit different. It's going to feel a little different because we're going to have the sermon in three separate parts. And this is kind of part of this series we started last week, a two-part series, Future Faith. Last week we talked about what is it going to look like in the future for the church. Things feel differently now. It feels like church has changed so much, maybe since your childhood, that things just feel different. Maybe for some of you, church doesn't feel like church anymore. Maybe some of you, church feels like it's given new life and that this road it's on is good and we should continue. And so we're talking about a couple of things that I believe can be key for the future of the church. And I get it from this book by Wesley Granberg Michelson. And he wrote this book called Future Faith, 10 Challenges Reshaping Christianity in the 21st Century. And so the two topics I have picked for these 2 weeks come directly out of there. And the last week we talked about what does it look like now for a church community to begin to be a place where people belong before they believe. Because we've set church up to be a place where people need to believe first in order to belong. Now today, we're going to talk about beyond the culture wars. Are you guys ready for that one? It's kind of a touchy subject, right? Some of us may not even know what culture wars are. So culture wars are this thing that we've set it up in our country that it's secular versus religious ideals, philosophies, morals, values. That these two are at odds and they keep fighting, and we need to fight and have a war to see who's the most dominant one, who will come out on top, and who will direct the moral soul of America. We love war. Not just actual war, not violent war, bombs and fighting, but all kinds. We love it when a political candidate of ours destroys another candidate of the opposing party. We love it on TV, in the news, when pundits tear apart the opposite view that we don't agree with. The NFL is a very popular sport in America, and it is, by chance, the most violent sport. As a nation, we're glued to our TVs in the aftermath of a mass shooting. Violence and wars of every kind have become part of who we are. Out of all the human emotions, we really only know how to express anger. There's been a study done for males in America, and we haven't been taught properly how to express the emotions we're feeling. So what happens mostly with males is what happens is when we feel any kind of emotion, whether it's sadness, frustration, fear, confusion, it comes out as anger. Because we are taught that anger and violence and war are key to who we are. Welcome to the culture wars in America, where we fight about the philosophies of who wins, who should be the moral compass of this country. The culture wars include a vast array of issues, whether it's gun control, gay marriage, abortion, patriotism, race, immigration, the Supreme Court, business, capital punishment, religious freedom, climate change, evolution. You could go on. There's all kinds of issues that we feel like we're at odds and can't talk to one another about. For some of us, we're entrenched in it without even knowing. We're raised to think a certain way, to believe a certain way, and we haven't really questioned that at all. But when we lose sight of the bigger picture, when we focus on these smaller issues within the culture wars, we miss out on the bigger picture of what we're supposed to be doing as a church, as Christians, to not only move us forward, but the country forward. Today, though, every Sunday, we come here and we breathe. We come here to be restored. We come here to get away from all of that. We come here to be renewed by the Spirit of Christ. We come together today and lay these tensions before God, all these tensions that we feel because we are a diverse congregation. We all feel different things about such issues. But we're able to come together and lay them down. because that there's something bigger, better, more attractive drawing us into this place. Something that's bigger than all those little things that we believe. And we come together with people whose beliefs may be contradictory to our own. The prophet Isaiah says, "There's a day coming when the mountain of God's house will be the mountain, solid, towering over all mountains. All nations will river towards it. People from all over set out for it." Today we take a break from our war of culture, war of words, war of politics, and we acknowledge that there is a mountain that is bigger than all of our own individual mountains. And it draws us in with its beauty, its peacefulness, and love. Welcome to worship at New Hope today. There's a man by the name of Dan Merchant. He had this funny idea. This is probably 2008, 2009, so it's a little bit dated, a little bit 10 years ago now. But this is kind of at the peak of some of the culture wars, and he decided to go around and wear this suit with bumper stickers on it that he had seen on people's cars. Because we had become this bumper sticker society where we have to say something really quick and make our point, and that's that. There's no argument, no discussion. That's what we believe. So he put them all over the suit, and he went around the country, and he interviewed people. He'd always ask people, "What's the favorite bumper sticker on my suit?" Or he'd ask them questions about God, Jesus, the church, Christians, evolution, science, sexuality, things like that, to hear what the country is feeling and saying. There's an excerpt I want to really hone in on here. There's this guy named Lou that he talked to in Times Square. And he asked Lou, "Name something Jesus is known for." Lou said, "Raising the dead and caring for the poor." And then he asked Lou, "What are Christians known for?" And he said, "Selective hatred and intolerance." Our witness in the world is hurt by our obsession with the culture wars. I know some of you, maybe this feels a little tense, it feels awkward, you're like, "I don't want to talk about this." But I think it's something we really need to talk about. It's something that as a church, we should be able to talk about together without fear of being ostracized, without fear of being hurt, that we are a place that we come and talk about these things even if we have different opinions about it. Another person he interviewed was Rosie. He asked Rosie, "What are the culture wars?" And she said, "I'm not too familiar with them, but I'm assuming it's something to do with different religious groups thinking that their position should be the most powerful." So we have this dynamic in the culture wars of what's really going on is somebody wants power. Somebody wants power and influence on what we decide as a country, as a church, and we're all vying for that position of power. We see it every election cycle, right? The biggest storyline of every election cycle is don't vote for them again, vote for us to be put back in there so we can actually do the real change. And it happens over and over and over again. Because we want power, we want to change the things, we want the control over what happens. And in our scripture today, in many pieces of scripture, I think this is kind of at odds with what God is talking about, with what Jesus is doing. We're supposed to be a city on a hill, a light in darkness. But sometimes we join in on the conversations, we join in on the fights, and we create more darkness. For people like Lou, who say Christians are just known for their hatred and intolerance, we are to blame for that. No one else, just ourselves. This is kind of a topic that's kind of dear to my heart. That sounds weird, but like it's very much a part of me. I grew up in Sioux County, Iowa, And that may not seem like a big deal to many of you, but Sioux County, Iowa, when elections come around, especially presidential elections, we get all of the candidates coming. We see all the buses coming through town. We are deeply red, right? The most red county in Iowa. I'm getting that right? That's the Republican color? Okay, I just want to make sure, so just that's key. Politics was just ingrained in me. It was a part of me growing up. My dad was president of the school board of our local public school for 20 years. My mother-in-law was also a president of the school board in the neighboring town for 20 years. My dad ran for county secretary, I believe, and at one time considered a run for state senate. My grandfather, my dad's dad, was county secretary also. And politics, including with my in-laws, is just ingrained in our family. It's part of us. It's something we talk about. And that's why Thanksgiving is always so stressful and tenuous, right? And so this is something that I feel deep in my bones. Maybe some of you don't feel these things, but it's something that's going on. And maybe you don't feel it in politics. Maybe you feel it with issues that you care about, whether it's immigration or the national anthem or support of troops, things like that, that there's just this tension going on that we are at odds with one another in some way and we can't talk about it. Speaking of where I came from, I had a friend, a pastor friend of mine, who used to be a chaplain at Northwestern College in Orange City, Iowa. He sent me this picture of this flyer that had been going out in Orange City. Now, I didn't grow up in Orange City, but that's where my in-laws live. That's where my wife, Michelle, grew up. It's very much the same type of atmosphere as where I grew up, because I only grew up 12 miles away. So this one, if you can't read it, there was a controversy in Orange City. The librarian had ordered a couple of books that had to do with homosexuality. And some of them were children's books, some of them were teen books. And so then what happened was somebody was upset that our tax dollars were going to pay for this, and they sent out this flyer. And it looks like what they wanted to do was create some kind of fear, because it says, Orange City pastors, state your position. Consider the following. Orange City hosted its first homosexual transgender celebration in 2017. That's true. There was a group that created it. It was very small. You know, it's a minority in that town. But, of course, whenever that happens in a town, small town like that, it's big news. It blows up, right? And dozens of library books aimed at indoctrinating children by promoting homosexuality, transgenderism, were bought with our tax dollars. And this next one is just purely funny for me because this is totally small town talk, but it says, what is next? Allowing homosexuality, transgenderism in the Tulip Festival Parade, which is their yearly big event, right? And when I read it, I just kind of laughed out loud at that one because I'm like, oh, man, this just went from kind of silly to absurd. But then he lists the pastors who are publicly against homosexuality, and then he lists all the pastors in town that have not responded to his request yet, trying to force a hand in a culture war that maybe some don't want to be a part of. Something that began to kind of tear that town apart based on where you're from, what your experience is, who your family members are. I think families in Orange City, Iowa that have children who are gay or lesbian are extremely hurt and torn apart by this. Now, it says at the bottom, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, this would be real progress. And then he gives an email that people can send more, kind of a watchdog email if they see other things happening in town that seem to be on that end of the aisle that they need to report it to him, and he posts it on the website. I just looked at it this morning. And there's just something very unhealthy about this. And I want people to know that not, some people may feel like, well, Jordan, it sounds like you're railing against conservatives or something like that. That's not the case, because this happens on the other side of the aisle too. This happens on both sides, whether it's this or somebody on the liberal side being very intolerant of people not agreeing with it. We both stand in places of shame and guiltiness. These flyers, things like this, are showing us what is going wrong with where we're at. And as Christians, sometimes we just think, we're not part of that. We have our own thing going on, but we are very much ingrained in this, right? Whether we talk about it in church, whether we talk about it in our small groups together, we hear murmurs of it. This is something that is part of everybody's lives in here. But as I read Isaiah, it says, they'll say, come, let's climb God's mountain. Go to the house of the God of Jacob. He'll show us the way he works so we can live the way we're made. Come, let's climb God's mountain. That is an invitation. It says, come, let's be a part of this. Let's be a part of what God is doing. Let's be a part of this movement of love, compassion, understanding, living with each other despite our differences, living in the tension together. The church is a place people can experience God and God's grace, love, and compassion. We should be that place where we're able to tell people, come, see what God is doing. Unfortunately, the way we have navigated the culture wars, this has done the opposite. Instead of saying, come, we either say, come, but hang on, what's your belief about salvation? What's your belief about abortion? What's your belief about gay marriage before you come? Instead of inviting people in to be a part of this community, no matter what, where they stand politically, where they stand socially, saying, come. Come to the mountain of God. If we're arguing and fighting just like the rest of the world, what sets us apart? If we're getting just entrenched into these issues and slinging mud at one another, what makes us different than politics? What makes us different than certain groups that advocate for certain rights? What makes us different then? We're just part of the noise. How people perceive us, some people may say in Christianity that's not important because God's truth is going to be offensive, so we just need to say the truth and then keep going. We don't have to worry about what other people think. But yet, as a church, if you want people to be part of your community, perception is everything. If they walk into these doors and come into church and we're railing against something that they believe in, that's a turnoff, right? If Christians, the broad perception we get is that we are hateful and intolerant, that changes things too. Because what this is, what it's supposed to be at its core, is we want people to be part of what God is doing in this world. We want people to be part of the body of Christ. And I think in the future, the church is a place that's countercultural, a place that is different. A place that is different than what the society is doing, how they're arguing and fighting, that we're actually going to be a place where people can talk, sit down at the table to have something that's larger than our own issues and our own wants. A community that flows with love and respect, something that our country has had a hard time doing in recent years. We'll move into prayer, and as we pray, the next thing we'll do is we'll have a time of silent reflection on the scripture, on what was just said, just kind of thinking about who we are and what part we play in all of this, and how we can start being a part of what God is doing rather than what our culture is doing. So where do we go in all of this? Some of us are probably thinking, that's all good and well, Jordan, but what you're talking about is probably like end of times. It's the peaceful area where God comes in, the kingdom of God is finally here. But yet, I think there's a piece of us that we should strive to meet together in that tenuous middle ground, that place where we can just be together. There's a statue across the street from the UN, and this statue is depicting that last piece of our scripture from today that says, they'll turn their swords into shovels, their spears into hoes. That this is a statue showing that what we're striving to do, that someday that we will put down our swords, we'll put down our wars, that we'll no longer play that game, but we'll be more concerned about those who are hungry, those that are hurting, those that don't have enough, those that are sick. That it'll be about others far more than ourselves. It doesn't mean that we won't have arguments. Even in the scripture for today, it had said that God will settle disputes. Because this is a vision from Isaiah of the new kingdom when God reigns. But God is still settling disputes. And I think that's helpful for us going forward, thinking about, well, we're always going to have arguments. We're always going to be at each other's throats. Yeah, and we're even going to be doing that in the next life. But God is showing us that there is a way forward. I think there's a couple of things that come to my mind when we think about how to be a church, how to be a light in the darkness to our culture, of how to be a different kind of community, is listen well. Listen to each other very well. Don't cut each other off. Don't shut down because you're hearing something that you don't like. But listen, ask questions, clarifying questions, not just questions that kind of gets to what point you want to make, but honest, genuine questions about why people think a certain way or view something a certain way. And I think always when you are going to stand in a different place than people want you to, you're going to be labeled a certain way. Jesus was always labeled as a drunkard, that hung out with the sinners, who broke bread with the sinners and tax collectors. So if as a church community, if we meet in the middle, that we're always trying to keep ourselves at the table with something bigger than ourselves, you're either going to be labeled a liberal or a conservative from either side. But reminding ourselves the most important thing is to stay in Christ. Because in Christ and at the table, we all become one, that we are a special community that can bring joy, compassion, and love into a world that needs it. It can break up a divisive system and find a way forward to live with one another. And I think the final thing, besides listening well and asking questions, the third thing is that we shouldn't be fearful of compromise. Because we do it in our everyday life, whether it's with our kids, whether it's with the rest of our family, our communities. But for some reason, we have not allowed that to be the case when it comes to faith and politics. That compromise has no place. But I think those are three key things as we move forward as a church in future faith. Moving beyond the culture wars, that we listen well to each other, that we ask questions, and we are able to compromise with one another.